All right. This morning, the title is, I chose to stay with the pastor's program, Mary, Deal With It, Resilience and Acceptance. First question I ask, how much did Mary know? And I got to thinking about it. Mary knew from before his birth that Jesus was very special. Starting with a virgin pregnancy, and an angel coming to visit her while she was pregnant, the night of his birth, and all those goings on, the incident with Simeon and with Anna in the temple, the visit of the wise men, and having to escape to Egypt. All this happened pretty quick. She knew there's something going on here. Simeon waited his entire life to see the Messiah, the promised of the ages. The whole nation of Israel had been patiently waiting since the time of Abraham. Mary was obedient to God, fully trusting God to guide her heart and life. Because of this trust and obedience, she became the vessel that was chosen to carry the Savior, the light unto the world. Last week, Pastor Daniel talked about how the prophet Nathan prophesied against David for his sins. David's defiance did no good. Rather, the foundation for resilience, as David Life teaches us, was found in his repentance. We do not have the strength to keep picking ourselves up and carrying on. For the Christian, that work belongs to God, and that is what David had to learn. He was king of Israel. But the Lord is clear to the point on how David became king. Not because David was something special, but because God chose him. The foundation of resilience is always repentance. For Mary, there's something else going on. She's a pure and simple young girl, and she already got what David had missed. David was filled with pride and power. Mary was lowly, pure and simple. She is the opposite of David. She has no power, no friends in high places. She has no palace to defend. Her life is spent not in accumulating more power, but in repeatedly and in humility, making herself available to God. In this respect, she inspires us all. Mary has a unique role in human history. She is the God-bearer. God chose her as he chooses all his servants, based upon her humility and the disposition of her soul, of her heart. He also chooses her because of her potential. Mary was exactly what God was looking for. Mary's place in history is that she perfectly submits to God. What Gabriel, the angel, asked of her, that she, being a virgin, would conceive and bear a son. This is very difficult. There were all kinds of social stigmas, if not violation of Jewish law, for her to overcome. She would have to keep on trusting the Lord through the entire process. So the default position of Mary's life was continually one of acceptance. She accepted the Holy Spirit conceiving within her. She accepted Joseph's initial misunderstanding. She accepted the social stigma that would have been attached to conceiving a child outside of marriage. And she had to accept what was going on in her own body. All this is very tall order for any one human being to deal with. But she accepts it all. Gracefully, completely relying on God to aid and assist her, she believed that if God chose her for his special mission, neither would he forsake her. She also had to accept something else. Mary accepting the inherent tension that the birth of her son would not be her son, but God's son. She was, perhaps, the first surrogate mother. But not carrying the seed of a human father, but carrying the seed of the Holy Spirit. So from the very beginning, Mary had to accept that she was carrying, ultimately, was not hers. In the gospel, we very much see a picture of a son, Jesus, who directs her life, rather than a mother who directs his. Mother was the right person for the Holy Spirit to overshadow, because she learns, even from Gabriel's annunciation to her, that she must accept her limits. It's about what God is doing and through her, not what she is doing for herself. She is not the actor, but the one who perfectly receives God's action upon her life. Her resilience comes when she repeatedly accepts what God is doing in her life. A word about acceptance. It needs to be mentioned that Mary's resilience cannot be confused with the term and idea of acceptance as we commonly use it today. Today, acceptance generally tends to mean acceptance of those who are different from us. This is not the kind of acceptance that was operating in Mary's life. Her acceptance was one of submitting to God's call to be the God-bearer. If anything, she was placing her life in a very unpopular and dangerous position. In fact, the news of the coming Messiah puts her at risk as Herod learns of the coming king's birth. So the entrance of Jesus into the world already had begun as a politically unpopular decision, at least as far as the world was concerned. Mary teaches us, as followers of Jesus, what it means to continually let go and trust in God, no matter what. Even when decisions are personally difficult, even when they are misunderstood by those closest to us in our lives. In her case, Joseph, her fiancé. Or by the political powers of the day, King Herod. Mary kept trusting in God, kept accepting his will. It is this attitude which fosters and deepens resilience. We find Mary's life book ended by two great tests of this resilience. One is of Gabriel's announcements to her, despite all the things that can and did go wrong on her, to the run up to Jesus' birth. The arrival of Jesus into the world is still a joyous occasion, whereby world history would never be the same. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The other end is at the cross. Here again, Mary is thrust into a position as much outside of her control as the appearance of Gabriel was outside of her control, where she again must take the resilience she has cultivated and learned her whole life, and she must accept what both her Son and God the Father seek to accomplish upon the cross. Mary's resilience is a profound experience for her because she comes to terms with the fact that the cross and the cradle are not separate from each other in this purpose. She is called upon at the cross to have the same simple faith and the same heartfelt presence of God's will, as much at the cross, if not more so, as she once did when Gabriel was announced to her that she would bear a son. So at the cross, she must draw from the same pool of strength that she had once had as a teenage mom. For her acceptance of who the God-man was, as her son, Jesus, from the cross, unites Mary to his followers, John the Apostle. For Mary to have been without a male son would have been a totally unacceptable thing in Jewish society. At the cross, Mary stands like any one of us. She too must accept the culmination work of the mission of her son, Jesus, to save the world. It is as Simeon had prophesied all those years before. Mary was, perhaps, the first disciple to discover or connect the dots between who Jesus was, our Savior, and what his purpose was, the salvation of Israel and consequently the world. As Christians, we have chosen and we have choices when it comes to following God. We can fight him and tooth and nail, or we can see that God will strengthen us to participate in his mission. If we accept all that God has in store for us, life is never easy. Mary's life profoundly demonstrates this for us. But nonetheless, she valued and hung on to the hope that if we accept God's will, he will be our strength and salvation. It will be ours to have. So, Mary didn't know very much. She wasn't aware of what was coming. But she trusted God and took life as it came. Part of the reason she was chosen to begin with. She had the ability to see heaven.
Amen.